We have Senator Braun on the line. Senator, if you want to go ahead and begin.
So, yeah, I think we're going to get right into the Q&A. Zach, you can start teeing them up.
Okay. We've got WIBC Chris Davis. Go ahead. And if I could remind everybody to keep the lines muted, and after you ask your question, to re-mute your lines. Thank you. Chris, go ahead.
Well, Senator, I've been thinking about this because we've had, call after call about this infrastructure bill. And I guess my first question is, do we have to do this right now? Because it's gone back and forth and been tossed around so much. And now we've, gotten it boiled down to this package where it's $1 trillion. And there's still a lot about it that you don't like and that you don't believe you could vote for. Do we have to do this right now?
I think that's a good way to put it, because look at the urgency that the other side of the aisle is putting out there. Did we need to do the $4 trillion we did in 2020 when bureaucrats and government shut the economy down in a way that I thought could have been done much differently? But that was at least done in a bipartisan way. There was a lot of uncertainty. Now it is a new frenzy almost, and trying to force all this spending through the system, and I don't think it is of that urgency. Infrastructure, to me, next to maybe defending the country, should be two things that are important in the federal government, and you do it with budgeting. You hold all the places that you're going to allocate money to be accountable for it, and this gets dumped in your lap, 2,706 pages, I think, down from 2,745. There's going to be so much in there that, yes, is not necessary, but the other side of the aisle, this is a growth business to them, and it's frustrating kind of not being able to do anything about it. But this could be done in a much more deliberative way, and you'd save taxpayers a lot of money, and you could actually maybe figure out how you have honest pay-fors. All we're doing is borrowing the money on any additional spending, even if it's sitting in some type of account. We borrowed the money to put it there, and it was too much to begin with. So I think you got a good point.
All right. Do we get a follow-up?
Yes, so we have time for a question and a follow-up.
Okay. I guess the follow-up to this would be, do you feel like the taste that exists right now, or that appears to exist in Congress for actually pushing through large spending bills is going to die down after a while? Do you feel like that's the sentiment will not be there before long?
I hope so, because the sad thing is there'll be a sugar high in the economy, because all the folks that benefit from this, of course, want it. And in my 2.5 years of being here, that's across the board, and that's on both sides of the aisle. And I think what people have to keep in mind is that in our normal process, before COVID, before the spending spree, we were spending $1 trillion more than we actually take in. And that was because we had a flawed process. This is like on steroids, and I hope that there's some type of abatement. As long as we're on the sidelines, and I think it's hypocritical for many in my party to complain about it because they were part of the dysfunction before, sadly, I think we're not through with it until they get their additional close to $6 trillion done. And that's going to happen over the next few months in total.
Thank you.
And we have WSBT, Robert.
If I can pass now.
I'm sorry? Okay. Do we have Brock, Indiana Public Media?
Yeah, thanks, Senator, for taking the time.
You bet.
So I know a big portion of the, at least a portion of this infrastructure bill has to do with broadband. That's something that you've, said that should be a priority. Have you had a chance to look at the broadband provisions in this bill? Is that something that you support dumping federal dollars into, or should that be handled by the states at this point?
So, no, I think broadband has elevated its way up in terms of, if we don't do it, we're going to leave rural America behind. I'm really glad to see that with a balanced budget and a rainy day fund and coming through COVID in a way, I think that Indiana did financially that was very good, that we're investing. I think it was $250 million maybe, give or take, in the state's efforts. I'm okay with any of this stuff as long as you're not borrowing the money to do. Now, that's not everything, but broadband is at least investment. You know, we've gone from a country that used to be savers and investors to kind of consuming and spending, and so much of what we do here has no investment component to it. So broadband, it's a big need, especially in rural states, but the more you can do it through the private sector and state governments where you have honest pay-fors, I wouldn't look to the federal government. It feels good when all that money drops into your lap. It's not a good business plan in the long run. So a lot of the merits, a lot of the categories, yes, are in need, not just when you're borrowing the money from your kids and grandkids to do it, and that's what the federal government is doing.
So what's an amount of money that you would have supported? Like, I think we're sitting in, you know, like what's a package, you know, a total amount out the door that you would support?
If it doesn't have some honest way to offset spending in other categories, not taking dormant accounts, that should have been repurposed against like paying down the debt or saving it within those accounts. Those are all the pay-fors in this infrastructure bill, and those are phony. They're not real. So as long as we're financing it in that manner, I don't think it's responsible for the federal government to be doing any of its wish list, whether it comes from the liberal side, which most of this is coming from, or things that are dear to many conservatives, like tangible infrastructure, defense. But we finance all of these areas that, sure, I like some of the policy, but there are very few of us that are honest in terms of how we pay for it.
Thanks, Brock. Howie Politics, Indiana. We have Mark.
Yes, hi, Senator. I'm curious, Mark, about a particular. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Senator. Thanks for having this availability. I have a question about a specific pay-for. What do you think of the provision that would strengthen reporting requirements for digital assets? Do you think that will raise much revenue?
So that's what you call a variable source of revenue, and I don't think it's going to be a large one as well. And some of the things that you're going to try to do to maybe collect better, I think one of the ideas was through the IRS, and that was such an exaggerated figure that would have never taken place. And at least when you're taking money out of other existing funds, that's something that is tangible and that you can count. Anything that's done on kind of a new method where it's uncertain what it'll generate, that is really a squishy and a soft pay for. And there's a lot of that in there. And then again, I mentioned it earlier, whenever we're saying that we're getting this from pre-existing accounts, well, that's all money that we have borrowed for some other purpose and just not spent it. And I guess that's different or better than borrowing new amounts of money. So there are about three different ways that you can raise revenue. Some are honest and straightforward, and they're tied into a sustainable pattern of doing it. Others, if you're robbing from here to do this, that's at least not borrowing new, and I don't like any of that stuff that's not built on a good mid- and long-term plan for whatever you're spending money on.
Right. And just a quick follow-up question, if I could. The bill has gotten this far because of support from at least some Republicans, including your delegation mate, Todd Young. It's not just Democrats who are pushing it, but also some of your Republican colleagues. So what do you say about the split within the Republican Party on this infrastructure bill, and especially the split right there in your own state on it?
Sure. So there are roughly two-thirds of Republicans that did not vote to proceed forward on the bill for many of the reasons I mentioned. And I think the ones that are wanting it would agree with almost everything I've said, other than they're going to push the envelope in the way of, just because it's bipartisan, it's delivering on a fairly popular subject, infrastructure, and it covers a lot of areas where there is need. But I think you still have to be honest that it's not based upon true pay-fors like I've mentioned. I'd come here and I just talk about that. I'm in the very small minority, because even most Republicans, for the stuff they really like, which, let's say, defense and a few other things, that's part of the way this place has worked up for many decades, where you get what you want, they get what they want, you go down the road, you borrow a bunch more money, you run trillion-dollar deficits. So they just think it's more important to have at least a bipartisan effort on a popular area, and they're not being honest on the pay-fors.
Thanks, Mark. We have Tim, ABC 57. Do we have Kristen, Fox 59? Okay, Bob, WSBT, do you have a question?
Just wondering when Senator believes the how the bill will end up looking once all is said and done.
So, good question. That's probably the most commonly asked question, like now. So, I think there's a feeling that this needs to get through the system. I think the folks that are pushing it know who's going to vote for it. That looks like it's going to speed itself up. We don't do anything here that has really got a good pace to it, and there'll be another day or so of amendments, but the hard infrastructure bill that's got bipartisan support, I'm nearly certain it's going to pass. And then the big event will be the $3.5 trillion called reconciliation on soft infrastructure, which is using a word that's going to confuse many people. It has nothing to do with tangible infrastructure. And that is a much in that one effort as we generally take in a year's time in revenue. That's called reconciliation. That's got a kind of an arcane process called Votorama, which means you can put a lot of amendments on it. Sometimes takes up to 20 to 24 hours. And just here in the last few hours, it looks like this could all cascade into getting done, both of them, over the next 3 to 4 days.
All right. Is there any other Alex on the call that wish to ask a question?
Abdul Lindy Politics, I have a question for Senator Braun, if he's available.
Yeah, go for it.
Hi, Abdul.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Mike. It's Abdul. Always good to talk to you, sir. Question
here
for you. Since you said you didn't like the way that Congress was paying for this, what would you recommend Congress do? Because if you look at our budget, most of it is non-discretionary spending. It's defense. It's interest on the debt. It's Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security. How would, in a Mike Braun world, how would all this be paid for?
Hey, I hear a lot back at some of my favorite stations in Indy talk about too much spending and even the idea of dedicated sources of revenue, user fees. I listened to a conversation recently with great interest, and there's a good argument there, especially in a place where you might have balanced budgets, rainy day funds. Do you need to even have user fees? That's a trade-off between long-term certainty on a source of funding, but I'm basically of that mindset as well. Here, we borrow all the marginal money that we spend, Abdul, so that means that we've gotten so far away from living within our means, and you're right, Medicare, Social Security, we have a gimmick here that we used to budget, and we've turned it into what's called mandatory spending. And we only, of the $3.5 trillion that we take in each year, the $4.5 trillion that we spend, so we're running chronic deficits, which technically means we shouldn't be doing any additional spending until we at least have the backbone to not spend more than what we take in. And then when it talks about user fees for infrastructure, that even gets to be complicated because we're living so much beyond our means at the federal level. State and local governments, thank goodness, at least have guardrails, believe in rainy day funds, and do things in a more sane way.
Thanks, Abdul. Any follow-up?
Thank you, sir.
All right. That's all we have. Thank you, folks. We'll follow up with the full video to all outlets after this. Thanks to the Senate Republican Conference for hosting.